Blog Talk Radio. Certificate in Economic Development from Harvard University. In addition to her educational background, Pastor Union has extensive training and experience with Internal Revenue Services as a large case, $250 million. She also owned and operated Action Financial Group, Inc., with her two children, the late Juan Walker, a Claremont graduate, and daughter Andrea Walker, a Pittsburgh graduate. Thelma is also a mother of two and a grandmother of three. Her diverse background uniquely equips her for service around the globe. The highlights of Pastor Eunice's career include her co-founding of One Light International, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit organization. But Dr. Union has a book. The name of the book is The Church. Is the church the church? And we'll have answers, and you can ask the questions on today because the book is available for you to purchase. But this book is basically asking us the question, is the Black church of today prepared to meet the needs of today's Black community in the end times? So Dr. Union is here today, and she's a phenomenal woman. Many of you know her. Some of you need to get to know her, especially, I would say, pastors, embrace her, because she has something valuable that's going to take us to the next level and to the millennium and the 21st century. We are here now, and what she has available to give you to be a great access to your ministry and to the body of Christ. Dr. Union has traced the historical evolution of Black churches, its significance in American history, and the pitfalls it faces in the 21st century. So today, welcome author Dr. Thelma Union. How are you today?
Wow, Joy, I'm overwhelmed because when I hear the all of that stuff, I'm like, okay, who did that? And where did it all, I mean, how did it all go down? You know, you just, you do what you do and you never really think about the challenge or the difficulty of it. So it's amazing. God is just so faithful.
Well, you know what? It's just amazing. It is amazing because your background that you have, the story that you told me, how you got into the things you had and how God is navigating and still is navigating your life. So to the average person, it seems like it's impossible to do all this. But to a spiritual-minded person, you know you have the Lord that's guiding your steps, the steps that you're given are ordered by the Lord. It's just what's in order.
Wonderful. Well, you know, if I haven't learned anything in my life, I've learned that God created all of us for a purpose, and the purpose is His destiny for us, and we can get off track, but if we really seek God, and that's hard to do, don't get it twisted, but if we seek Him, and sometimes He'll just make you come back or align you with that which He's doing through you, without you even being aware of it. So God is amazing. But you know that already. I don't have to tell you.
I'm like that alignment. So yes, I understand. Yes.
He's amazing.
It's just like the relationship that you and I have. And I just met you last year. But it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like in God's timing, it is destined to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, and what you have right now to give to the body of Christ is relevant right now because we're in the midst of something that we know God's going to bring us through. There's no doubt about it. I don't care how we look at situations, how just dramatic and so terrible it looks. It's track record. If you go to the Bible, whatever He has planned, it's coming to pass. You just might get used to it. That's good. No matter how messy it looks, because right now it's a mess.
Yeah, that's true. I was looking at my devotional this morning, and it's so on point for our conversation, because it's Psalm 37, 23, and 24, and it says that God, we don't stumble into our destiny. God has caused us to move into it. That whatever the attacks are that come after us, and I don't know about anybody else, but I've been in quite a bit of warfare. Sometimes I knew, sometimes I didn't until I was out of it. But God had a purpose and a mission, and he ordained and ordered our steps. And that's what he's trying to really, really, really convey to his people, is that I've ordered your steps. If you walk in them, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if you don't, the weapons are going to cause you to get back in line. So it's just totally amazing to me. I'm excited. And I keep using that word. Maybe I should change to awesome, because I do have a couple of more words in my vocabulary to describe God, even though they're inadequate.
I know. You know what? I said something to a guy today. This is something new I started, and he asked me, how was I doing? I said, I'm amazingly blessed. So why are you so blessed? He said, don't you know what's going to happen? Yeah, I know what's going to happen. I know what God is doing, but still, to be so excited about your father doing what he says he's going to do, it's just like a natural father. When he promises you something, and you keep waiting and looking for it, he brings it, you're like, oh, you remember? You are like so excited, and that's what we have to be. That when God says something, he said, is bringing things to pass. Oh, yes. I love you, Daddy.
Yeah, thank you for just keeping your word. That's the one thing that we have a problem with in humanity. But God said, let every man be, let God be true and every man a liar. And I believe that if we don't know what God said, we don't recognize the lies when they come up. I'm working on another book, and the title of the book is What Lie Did You Buy? And How Much Did It Cost You? And then the third question behind it is, and what is it costing the generations to come? What happens if what God has given you to give to the world dies when you die? Well, nobody will know you've ever been here. And we need to make our contribution. And it's not fame and fortune. It's how do I feed into the lives of the generation to come based on the gift that God has placed in me to serve them. Because Jesus said, what? The greatest of these is the servant. And, you know, a lot of times we got that confused. I talk a little bit about it in the book.
Yes, that's going to be awesome. We're going to allow you to do that. Now, audience, I want you to know that this woman of God will be definitely talking about finances and about the stewardship of the body of Christ. So I want you to really invite your guests to listen to what she has to say, and what makes her so qualified is because of her history. And I did read a little bit about your qualifications. And if you can just go over a little bit with us and let us know your financial background.
Well, Joy, just briefly, because I know now that God ordained every step, and you alluded to that earlier in your conversation, because whatever I was supposed to do, it showed up. I didn't have to chase it. It showed up, and I knew this is what I'm to do. And I'm sure that God does that with a lot of people, so I'm not the exception. But oftentimes we miss it even with that. But I came to California from Tennessee. I had graduated from college. I had two children already at 22 years old. And God just brought me through. I got a job, a quick job, and there was a lady there that helped me get that job because everyone else had said, you don't have any California experience. And I'm like, how do I get California experience if I don't get a job in California? So God had a woman there, I'll never forget her. Her name was Bobby Sherman. And she just talked to me. She winked. She guided the conversation and my responses. And I got that job, which led to another job later on and a possibility for me to own my own firm. I went from there to insurance company in North America. And when I worked there, I learned so much about insurance companies, how they decide how much they're going to pay. They have the strongest lobby of all the industry. That's where a lot of the financial wealth is in this country, is in insurance companies and banks. So then I wind up working at IRS, and at IRS I wound up auditing what they call large case. That's corporations with over $250 million in assets, not revenue, but assets. And I got the IRS job in insurance division because I had worked for an insurance company before that. So he just ordered every step. And I audited those companies. And then when IRS was trying to take me to management, I'm like, I don't want to manage nobody but me. So I wound up, it was at that point where I knew, okay, God, I've always wanted my own business. And I told you I grew up with three different aunts, and the one that I loved and that stood out the most, I loved them all, but they each gave me something different. And my aunt, who was the entrepreneur, she had her own business, she had cars, the best, she had fruit in her house all the time. See, I don't know how you grew up, but in the South, we got fruit in the summertime, unless we had a tree to pick it off of. But she was the one that had literally everything, white carpet, air conditioning, I mean everything. And so when you grow up in poverty and you don't know you're in poverty, but you know what looks and feels best to you, then that's what cements in your mind that this is the picture that I want to have of myself when I grow up. And so that was her. So when the time came to buy business, IRS was kind of pushing me towards management. I'm like, nope. And the first job I had that Bobby Sherman helped me get, an accountant lived down the street. His office was down the street. And with him, he said to me, I saw how hard you worked at that firm down the street, and you literally ran it as a kid. He called me a kid at 23. You think you're grown, right? But he said, so now I want to retire. And when I retire, I want somebody in my firm that I've had for 25 years. I want somebody here that can take over, that cares about my clients, and that are competent to do the work that needs to be done. So he invited me to come to work with him, which I did with the hope of buying my own firm. Well, as it turned out, he didn't really want to sell. He wasn't ready emotionally to let go of the business. So within a year's time, God opened up another door for a firm, which was predominantly taxes. That was my specialty. And I was able to take the retirement money from IRS, pay down on it, and I co-bought it with him. And in a year, we bought him out, and therefore I had my little firm called Harper, Union, and James. Yeah. So, and every time when it was time for that to go, I was not happy. But God called me to ministry, and it was like, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not none of that. I'm a businesswoman. And God said to me, yeah, I told God that. We had the biggest argument about a lot, and we've had several conversations like that since then. I realized, though, that I already lost before the conversation started. So at this stage of the game, after God, over 20-plus years, I've learned, okay, God said it, just step into it, and it'll work itself out as you go. And so I wound up selling the practice, and the guy I sold it to didn't finish paying me. So that means I'm in seminary with no money. And I'm angry with God. It's like, you tricked me. And I went to my lawyer, who was a Jewish piranha. If it was money to be, she smelled it and she was on it. But she told me, she said, you can sue the man, but if you sue him, you still got to collect the money. And if he's a shyster like that, then you're not going to find it. So, because he's hidden it somewhere already, let it go. And I heard God, my spirit, let it go. I'll take care of you. And boy, it's been one wonderfully marvelous struggle ever since. But I'm grateful.
Yes, God. He doesn't want you to get nothing.
Yeah, oh no, he has a plan now. And if I don't know anything else, I know that. Because as a businesswoman, I work on business plans with businesses and small businesses, and I teach small businesses how to start up and the taxes they should file and the records they should keep. And I coach them. I've coached for the Urban League, and I, you know, personally coach businesses now. And we've got a few businesses in business that are doing very, very well. And so one of my hopes is to take one of these companies public before I go home to be with the Lord. And if not, just minimum one, I'll say. Because I want, you know, I realize how wealthy we are as a people with information and knowledge. But it's usually not the business end of how to manage the resources that God has placed in our hands. And one of the scriptures he gives me on a regular basis is Psalms 24:1, when he said, "The earth is mine, the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So we're stewards. We don't own it. We're just here for a while. And we have a time to manage and achieve what he wants us to achieve. And when that's over, we can't achieve it. So, you know, there's all the parables of the men with the talents, and one doubled his, and the second one doubled his, and the third one hid his. And God said, take his, because he didn't do anything with it. And if you thought, I mean, there's a whole big, you know, teaching on that, but the essence of it is, if you do the best you can with what you have, God will meet you there, even when you saved or not saved. Because we don't even understand oftentimes what that looks like, what it feels like, and how to honor God in everything we're doing. I'm a firm believer in tithing. And some people say that's the Old Testament. But Jesus' definition for tithing, which in the Old Testament was 10%, in the New, he said, give as you've purposed in your heart. So that's like if I say give 100% of something, you've got to do that. Now, I know people think I'm crazy, but I've literally done that. And it just was so amazing. I won't go into that testimony today, but I got a lot of indications of God's presence in my life. So it's a privilege to talk to you and to share with your audience the bit of information that I have and how it can hopefully, if they have questions, I can answer them and, you know, assist them in moving forward. Because biblically, there's a formula. And if we practice it, we get the results. If we don't, then we need to check what we're practicing, our motives, our objectives, and our prayers, and how much we really know about the nature of God.
So let me ask you something, because what we'll do tomorrow is let you go tomorrow and give us the principles of everything, of what the Bible says about being steward and what's the principle of it. But a question, are we spending our wealth on, because we do get money, and I know a lot of people say they don't have it. I know I've had some money that I did not use it wisely.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know that's my pet peeve is, if the church is supposed to be preparing people for the manifold wisdom of God, then if we don't know stewardship, a lot of our pastors have not taken the first business course. They don't even teach it at seminary. I did a workshop at my seminary, which is Fuller, and It was called church management and administration, because administration is a gift and management is stewardship. How do I manage whatever it is God has placed in my hands, and how do I double it, or how do I bring the increase that God has promised? And you do it through your obedience. And even worldly people practice it. It says that the world people, the people in the world, are wiser than the people in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons. I mean, there's so much information out there that is just mind-blowing. But I said, well, God, how do you know? Because I'm always looking. I'm an accountant, right? I'm results. We need a debit and a credit. How do we balance it? And he says, when you see their life reflecting the fruit that I spoke of in my Bible. And I was like, well, shoot, I don't know nobody like that. Everybody I know is struggling. And he says, that's because they really don't know my word. They don't know me. And they haven't got the discipline to apply it long enough so that they can receive the benefits of it. And I was like, hey, then, that one's just kind of, we need to resonate. And if any of your audience has questions, you know I'm open to answer whatever I can.
Okay. And I'm going to read something out of your book, Chapter 2. It says the black church traditionally in the conference today. And it talks about Mammon, a god of this world. It says we are constantly rich individuals, rich in money, property and stocks and bonds that are in bondage to the god of material things, Mammon.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, even as Christians, we are not always clear on the purpose of the wealth God has placed in the hand of God's church. Talk about that, man. I was reading it, says in this passage, Mammon merely means wealth.
Yeah, or money. Jesus, that was a quote directly from Jesus' mouth. And if you want to learn something, learn it from the horse's mouth. Jesus said that point blank, that you can't serve God and mammon. And so there's always been a competition for humanity since the garden. And in the garden, enemy convinced Eve that what God had said was not true. So then she was disobedient. Her husband joined her in the disobedience. And that's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing right here, right now. Adam was not in another place in the garden. He was right there with Eve. So I'm like, okay, God, what is that really saying? It's saying that if I give you instruction and you don't follow it, then you lose whatever it was that I had for you to receive as a result of your obedience. And I don't know that it goes to someone else, but I know you don't get it. So he says, in fact, one of the best examples in the Bible is when Saul, the first king. And see, there's a whole lot of dynamics with kingship, because kings are rulers. And when a ruler is given authority and freedom to do certain things, then he winds up being disobedient to what God said. God gave him a specific order. He said, kill everybody, all the Amalekites, all their animals, all everything and everyone. And he decided, well, I'm going to bring back the best, and then I can sacrifice it to the Lord. And God, and the prophet told him point blank, obedience is better than sacrifice. God does not want that stuff. If he told you to kill it, he meant that. So we've got to really understand God's nature. And I don't say that I have. I'm learning little by little and getting my head bumped, and something about those head bumps that make you learn. I'm like, okay, I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of this pain. And so Saul lost his whole kingdom. And see, Saul, the kings then were considered like political leaders. And, you know, that's a whole other set of dynamics going on today that, you know, I don't want to get into.
Well, Delma, where are we now with the churches? And we have what we call a mega churches. And we know what mega churches are. We know who the pastors are. around the globe.
Yeah.
We have churches that fill storefront. Where are we?
Mm-hmm.
Are we, if we collected and if the body of Christ really came together and we really put a plan together financially, so are we prepared? Or you think it's just not enough to supply and do what God has called us to do?
We have more than enough. But the key is with the obedience. See, one of the things that God gave me, and that's why I've been waiting until God just says, okay, go forth with this book right now, is because most people want to build their kingdom and their wealth and not the kingdom of God. God gave us our gifts, our talents, and the abilities to get money so that we can build the kingdom of God. But if it's your kingdom, and you, it's just so rampant, the abuse of people, because people have no money, and the leader is driving a Rolls Royce. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with having a Rolls Royce. But the principles in Scripture tell us that we should be good stewards over whatever comes. And if everybody in your congregation has a Rolls Royce that wants a Rolls Royce, see, because a lot of people don't. Now, I had Mercedes for years, but I started out in business, and I was able to buy whatever I wanted. And I had a Mercedes up until 5 years ago when God was like, okay, time to get rid of it. And now I'm in a Nissan Versa. That doesn't make me any more virtuous than anyone, but it does make me obedient. And now I'm learning to be a better steward even over all the small things that we rarely think about, like time. Time is the only thing we can spend once, Joy. And we have to be concerned. And the more mature you get, the more you start thinking about time. Have I completed what I need to? And so I would say no, because most, I would say that a lot of the existing pastors are like little islands, and they're building their own little churches in their own little neighborhoods, and they don't belong to God. When you say, hear people say, my church, my this, my that, it intimidates me, because I'm saying, but you don't own the church. It's God's church. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And how is God going to come back for you and you don't even know you're the bride of Christ? His bride is the ones he called out to serve his people. And we serve from hairdos to food to manufacture every single capacity that exists to meet a human need. God has already prepared someone to meet it. And if they meet it, it works. If they don't, it doesn't. So we can see that in our neighborhoods. We've got killing. We've got people homeless. We've got, and there, it's all over the world, not just here. So Christ told us in the Revelation, if you get to that part, that I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And people building their own ministries, their own kingdoms, their own little gods, and have made themselves little gods, like the statues in the Old Testament, because we think that idolatry is building little statues, but it's putting people in a position that God should be in, putting, I call them the symbols of success. So when you put them in place of God, then that's what you get, symbols of success. But it's not real success. You're not content. You're not happy. There's just a whole lot that goes on.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about the church and the sound bite age.
Okay. All right.
This is a Queen Bander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God, our Savior.
Thank you. That was Banda, Queen Banda. She's with E-Pastors Network. And her and I have came together, and she does an e-blast, the Punch TV, the pastors, but there's thousands of pastors. And so this broadcast that we have now is available for pastors to come on. I do interview them and let them know that it is the Punch TV Studios broadcasting. But we're going to start doing a TV show also. Here will be hosting the show on our network, Channel 64. It serves the whole Southern California. And that's why another reason why I came back on the Blog Talk Radio, because people need to know that we're still moving forward. But I had to begin to merge the two of these areas together because all of this media. But listen, one of the things that are so important for me to let you know that Punch TV Studio has a lot of investors that in our company, which is doing phenomenal. We have done some great things that God has allowed us to do with our CEO, Joseph Collins. If you go on our site, which is PunchTVStudios.com, if you go on Facebook, there's some clippings of our new facility, which is in Santa Fe Springs. This is the move of God. And sometimes things don't always go the way you think they should when you're in ministry. But God has a way of bringing his plan together, even during a difficult time. And I'm witnessing something that God is doing in Punch TV Studio and even in my own life. I'm witnessing how God has spoken word in my life about meeting people. And just like I met the author Velma Union and I met Queen Banda, Womack, all this had to do with me being at this company. I don't see how I would have come in proximity with these dynamic women of God, except have been me at this company, Punch TV Studio, and even that's the story. So back to the Velma talking about how God, when he has a plan for your life, you don't really have to worry, and it does have a lot to do being ordered in the steps of the Lord or ordered by the Lord, but it has a lot of you being obedient and hearing his voice when he says, go left, go right. And I believe that's where we are, even with the church today. It appears to us sometimes that the church is not moving in a direction, but I am a firm believer if he says go right, there's something going to make us go right. I don't care what you say, it's going to go right, because that's his plan.
That's true.
The church in the second bite sound.
Yes, yeah, sound bite, yeah. You
what
know, Ray?
It is.
Go ahead,
what
I'm sorry.
Yes.
What is a sound bite? That's the way that our media is communicated to us, like radio. You have information being broadcast over lines where people can hear it. But what we fail to realize as a people is that these are other people's views and opinions, like ours. We're giving our view based on our experience with God and scripture and life. So a soundbite is a piece of information, but it's somebody's information. And you have to think, who's the source of the information? See, we've been so put to sleep in this nation that by the education system and by the industries, all of them, is that we'll just take whatever people say without doing any critical thinking to understand it. So with all the technology that's out now, they can put together something that sounds so real and it can be fabricated. But because of the skills and the sound bites, we need to realize what winds up on television is just somebody else's opinion. And it's a report. And so when we get that report, we have to use our discernment and our scriptural understanding in order to see if it's actual. We need to check it for facts. And most people don't want to do all that. They don't want to go into all that. And I understand because it's time consuming. In fact, I had a conversation this morning. It was so amazing with my credit union. And she said, well, it was in the promissory agreement. I was like, okay. And I didn't read the promissory agreement. So I don't remember seeing that because I didn't see that. So we just accept it. And we have to question it and compare it to the word of God. And if we don't know the word of God, we're in big trouble because we can't always recognize it when it's coming forth as somebody else's opinion or ours. One of the things that God told me, Joy, and when I say God told me, I don't mean he spoke in an audible voice, but I get messages in the spirit, as we all do. And what he said was, everything I made is related. And that humanity has separated it so much to try to understand it, that now they don't know what goes with what. So that's why we have all this confusion. Families tow up. Ministries are coming forth that are not accurately based on scripture, not interpreted. Ministers where there's no accountability. And then, you know, just it's all chaos like it was in the beginning before God created the order. But he has the order. We just need to know what it is and be willing to trust God more than ourselves and more than what's on the media. Because a lot, I heard a guy say once, this was amazing to me. He said, we don't know our children because we didn't raise them. TV did. That sat me down. He said, so you don't know why your kid is doing what they're doing? Look at the television they watch. Look at now, you can say what's on their cell phones. Because that's where they learn, is whatever they're exposed to. And what they learn from us is what we expose them to as well. And as parents, modeling what we do is what influences our children more than anything we say. And I think I read somewhere that that's an old African proverb. Your kids may not remember what you say, but they will remember what you do.
That's right.
Because they see it. So sound bites is your opinion, my opinion. And that's what influences America today. And the church is just as play to it as ever. You know, I had some names in here. I'm not going to read them. But one of my quotes was that television has conditioned a group of people to be accustomed to the sound bites. These bits and pieces of information may appear to tell a whole story, but they are actually the views of producers, sponsors, and sometimes even the commentators. Television's influence on the church has caused some of the gatherings to look and feel like entertainment variety shows, featuring the preacher as the main attraction. Some of the preachers are comedians, and we see them on television. Some are practical. You know, so it's just the personality. Yeah, and what they think. And so if we can't discern that, trouble.
Yeah. You know what? As you were speaking, one thought that came into my mind, and I'm going to read Ephesians 4 and 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and forth and carried about with every wind by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I know, it's like you said, the sound bite, it's just a little small portion of the truth. And the Bible says people rather believe a lie than believe a truth.
Yeah, it's easier.
So
it's easier because.
And we know we already know these shows are entertaining. That's what most people look at them for.
Right.
We understand sometimes the house that they're shooting is not their house. The car that they're driving is not their car. It's the all part of production. And the life living is really not their lifestyle. So when the production of the shooting is over, they go back to wherever they came from, enjoying fabricated life that makes us want it. And I say
exactly.
Us, and whoever's looking at TV, if we don't have it, we want it.
Exactly.
The man, the relationships that we see, and it is TV. You know, it's entertaining. Sometimes the relationships they have on the Hollywood reports, you know, go on because that's what our kids look at, the fashion. That's where the fashion comes in. And so sometimes the fashion they're wearing, just like Beyonce, she doesn't wear that when she go home. That's just the entertainment purpose.
Right.
But it puts the mind of the kids, this is how they supposed to dress. It's a lie. TV. So your kids want to be half-dressed when they go out, you know, because this they're seeing. Going to church sometimes it could be very disturbing. Not supposed to be, because the church is a place where you're supposed to accept anybody as they are, and you can't be judgmental, because to be honest with you, they don't have clothes like that. These are the clothes they have. So you have to allow people to come in to church and be transformed. You were transformed.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. We forget that so easily, though. You know, you forget all the transitions that you've gone through in order to become who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real easy. When I say you, I'm speaking generically, just in general. Because once you've arrived somewhere, you think that you have the right to judge the people who aren't there. And that's not the purpose of you arriving. The purpose of you arriving is to be able to testify and show people what God has done for you and through you, and that he will do it for them as well. Revelation tells us they are one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, Joy, my testimony, and those people who God has brought through some difficult situations, and they still, you know, I say halfway sane, and, you know, are physically functioning.
Yes.
You know. So.
Now, I'm going to take another break, and what I want to talk about, because how do we now transition when the millennials don't understand about the wealth in the church and how we're supposed to be the steward of it, and how do we transition that thought? Because we grew up giving tithes and offerings, so we know it works. But how do we now transfer that information to our young people who are church people? They're not churchy.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to take another question, then I'm going to come back.
Okay.
This is a Queen Bander Power Nugget.
Did you know our afflictions have value? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 lets us know our light, afflictions, pressures, trials, and tribulations, which is but for a moment, a point in time, a season, a mark, worketh, achieves, accomplishes for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Okay, thank you again for your patience and for the conversation. And you know, Arthur Velma unit is going to be with us on tomorrow also. So a lot of the topics that we're going to be talking about, because I really want to deal heavily on stewardship, because that's what she's all about and that's what this book is about, is the church. Really, the church, and what are we doing with the finances that God has given us. So she's going to come back on our show on tomorrow at 3 o'clock, but we're going to allow her to have the last word on this day. So.
Okay. So, again, my name is Velma Union, and my phone number is 323-673-8185. I'm on Facebook as Velma Union. I haven't gotten to Instagram and those other places. And my email is loveworks, LOVEWORKS, at loveworks, the number 2, at yahoo.com. Let me repeat that. Loveworks, LOVEWORKS, the number 2, at yahoo.com. And the reason we chose that email was because people talk about love and we see examples of romantic love, but real love has more 4 or 5 different ways that it manifests. And we know there's been books about your love language, and women are from Venus and men are from Mars, and God made us different on purpose. I'm glad he did, because I don't think I'd want to be in a world with just all women. And I'm pretty sure most men don't want to be in one. At least I've had a few that said that to me, so I'll just stick with the part that I know. And as we prepare, we need to understand that stewardship is not just about money. It's about the relationships that we have with other people. How do we care for people? It's about resources. It's about resources and what God is doing in our lives. And how are we passing on or handing down the resources that he's placed in our hands? Are we using them in a way that honors God and blesses other people and blesses us? Because he said you're supposed to bear fruit. He says in John 15, he said, I've ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. And that's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden. And if we don't understand that we're bringing forth fruit, but is it fruit that's edible? Can somebody eat it and live, or will they eat it and die? So we have a lot to learn, and it's just exciting to learn more about God and the stewardship and the understanding of the resources that he says in another place, all things are yours. So everything is ours, and we let the world usurp things, and we don't practice stewardship the way we should.
So on tomorrow, we're going to be talking about stewardship and leadership, because have we left, and I say we, anybody that's over 50 and above, are we leaving the right model for the next generation in reference to the Bible talks about the church and how we're supposed to be able to meet the needs of the community? Is that one of the thoughts that we have fought to? Because I know preachers are really diligent about what they're teaching to the members of God's flock, but are they celebrity status struck? Are trying to live a life of Christ, so God is be pleased with our life, because you can cross over to a field of being, we're in Hollywood, so we're in California, every place else. So we're surrounded about scenes of production and how to make things happen, how to make it exciting for those that are looking in the windows of our life, but we have no clue how it's supposed to really look to the world, because we're looking, there's a lot of people get more like the world, but our services, we do right, and that's okay. We like a good praise and worship, but is it really worship?
Or is it about religion rather than a relationship with your Creator and
right.
those that He created around you? So I got it. Mm.
Yes, because I have my child, you know, I have my grandchildren, and I'm not looking forward to them being left after God before them and not knowing what it really means to really get in touch with God through worship. It really means
mm-hmm.
to be God through relationship. I want to make sure that the life I lead for them, other children, other young people that I see, that I present it to them a duplicate of what God is looking for in my life.
Mm, that's good. There's models. And are they good models or not the good models? Not the ones that just wear clothes on a runway.
Right.
Or television.
So we are so happy and thankful that you have our listeners to stay with us on today. And I thank you, Dr. Velma Union, for coming on our show. And again, we're going to come right through on tomorrow. And I might have some really challenging questions for you, because I want to get to the milk of what we're doing and then drive it on up to the meat for those that are so educated to understand. All of us are in the body of Christ together, and we're going to have to find
mm-hmm.
some media to bring
mm-hmm.
our body to Christ so that when He returns, that we will be exactly, like you said, without a spot or wrinkle. And Christ will be peace when His bride comes for Him, that it will be no doubt about it, that we will be trusted. We did what you said, what you wanted to do. We handled our finances, God. And I want what the model we have.
Yeah. Well, one thing for sure, God says that I'm coming back for a church within a church. And we may not know the difference, but most certainly our Creator does. Thank you so much, Joy. Joy in the half.
Yes. But you know what? That's the confidence we have, because He knows. And so that's what we have to rely on. But He knows that He's given us a charge, a duty to do it, and that's what He wants done. Listen, I thank you all for joining us. This is the pastor for Punch TV Studios. Our CEO, Joseph Collins, thank you, and we'll see you on tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 657-383-9.
Thank you so much, Joy. I appreciate you, woman of God.
You're welcome. My pleasure.